gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 6 minutes after the hour. If you're watching on Ustream, don't panic. I know I am dressed like a girl.
Yeah, what's up with
everybody,
that?
Everybody, calm down.
I'm
everybody
a little
settle.
Freaked
no
out.
No baseball hat. I'm dressed like a girl because I got to go to Chicago right
That's
after
right.
the show. I got to debate Michael Medved tonight.
Oh, God.
In Chicago. Jeff writes, Steph, turning out to be a great week in Chicago. The Bears beat the Packers at the Packers. Illinois has voted for same-sex marriage. It's
mm-hmm.
about time.
Yep.
Stephanie's going to kick Medved's ass at the Great Debate 3 tonight. I got my VIP tickets for this. Jeff.
Oh, good.
If I don't get shot at LAX or eaten by the alligator at O'Hare.
Yeah, I hope you don't get eaten
that
by that.
That we talked about yeah. yesterday. There is, for some odd reason.
there
was, at least.
There was an elevator.
One is, it's presumably only one.
They found an alligator underneath an escalator.
I guess they've installed a moat.
Around O'Hare,
who
sure.
knew? All right, and then in other news, Jim called and said, and also,
yep.
and is indisposed as we speak. All right, so, and it's always easy to find a fill-in at, you know, this time at insane o'clock in the morning in L.A., so we'll see who's around, who's available.
We'll pull someone in off the street.
And meanwhile, Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz on the big show today, and
yep.
Bob Seska. All right, so lots to get to. Roland, sexy liberal tour director,
yep.
said Madison is doing business like I don't know, our first time. It always feels like the first time with Madison. The VIP is sold out, and general admission seats are selling ridiculously fast. If you haven't bought them yet, he says you should go. Also, Phoenix and Seattle on fire as well. But
once upon a time, there was a girl named Stephanie who gathered a ragtag band of progressive jesters to rid the land of the great conservative darkness. And history was made in the great city of Madison when the sexy liberal comedy tour was born.
Seems like a long time ago.
And now is their triumphant midterm election return.
Putting the band back together.
Yes, we can.
On March 29th, Stephanie Miller and her merry, marauding collection of sexy liberal comics will return to where it all started, the Barrymore Theater in Madison, Wisconsin. Tickets are available online at barrymorelive.com. Don't miss the midterm mayhem and an early Scott Walker retirement party.
Take care now. Bye-bye then.
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, March 29th at the Barrymore Theater. Go to barrymorelive.com.
All right. Hey, speaking of, look who's here to join us at our Ken Cuccinelli, the Cucci early retirement party. Why?
Woo! Carl.
Carl Frisch. Bullfightstrategies.com.
So inviting to me.
Good morning, Carl Frisch.
Good morning.
You sounded like Oprah.
or Marcus Bachman, yeah. I can't tell. But good morning to you too. So what do you? Let's do the roundup. What is the big takeaway from Election Day Tuesday?
Young people hate Republicans.
This just in from Carl Frisch.
Yes, the breaking news. No, it was a good night. Okay, anybody who thinks, first of all, that Chris Christie is going to be the Republican nominee in 2016 probably thought that Rudy Giuliani was going to be the Republican nominee in 2008.
Really?
Yeah, he's not going to be the Republican nominee. He had a pass of an election with token opposition. As much as I like Barbara Buono, she didn't have a real campaign going on.
Well, what do you
in
mean?
Fact, he had no coattails for a win as big as his. And for a guy as big as him,
right.
you
that,
would
those are coattails.
Have bigger coattails.
Yes.
Right. Well, but Carl, what do you make of that a lot of people are saying the Democratic Party did not support her?
You know, well, I think that's yeah. in part true. But you know what they did do is they saved the legislature from going Republican. So the Democratic Party, you know, worked their tails off to make sure that the legislature wouldn't go to Christie's party. So they may not have gotten her elected, and he may have gotten 60%. But look at who turned out to vote. They voted for a minimum wage hike that Christie was against by the same margin that they voted for Christie, and I think only one state legislative seat in New Jersey switched sides. So when you get 60% of the vote, you'd expect more of those things to happen. But all the targeting in the world didn't help Republicans pick up legislative seats there.
Well, by the way, have you read The Hunt for Pufferfish in the Double Down, the new book?
Speaking of
Chris Christie, Pufferfish was his code name for the Romney camp. But interesting what you're talking about, his presidential chances, because that's what it says in here, that they said once they vetted him, they said, oh, my God, if he had decided to run this last time, they said he wouldn't even be able to run for governor again. There's so much stuff.
Well, that's not surprising to me. And a lot of people remember, that we think are going to be viable candidates don't even, either, A, don't end up running, or, B, won't pass muster once they get there.
Well, right, and all I know is all the right people were mad yesterday. Mark Levin and Rush Limbaugh and all the representatives of the lunatic right fringe, because it certainly was a resounding defeat for them yesterday, right?
It was like gay heaven yesterday. Gay heaven.
Oh, yeah, right.
Well, you had Ken Cuccinelli, who lost his dream campaign for governor. And let's be clear. I mean, if he'd just been a little bit crazy with BJs and women and science, he probably would have had a better shot at winning. My favorite thing has been watching these right-wingers say, Terry McAuliffe had $10 million more dollars than Ken Cuccinelli.
Yeah, that's their big excuse yesterday.
And all I have to say is, it was still Terry friggin' McAuliffe that won the election.
Yeah.
Yeah.
5 years ago, he was doing killer shooters on Morning Joe.
And I heard the big story, he was supposed to win by a landslide. And I thought I heard David Axelrod say yesterday that it was always supposed to be, 2 to 4 points was the, latest polling they were showing, and he won by three, right?
Right. 2 to 4 points, he won by three, and look at his coattails. For the first time, and I'm fairly confident looking at the modeling that we're seeing for the attorney general's race, for the first time since 1969, Democrats will control every statewide office in the state of Virginia.
Wow. Wow. And, oh, by the way, you tweeted about a picture in class. Cuccinelli has no plans to call McAuliffe?
Yeah, I mean, if this was Al Gore in 2000, or if this was, somebody else, or John Kerry in 2004, all we'd be hearing about is the fact that Ken Cuccinelli has been bitter in defeat. And if you listen to his speech, he was bitter in defeat. And, CNN might even throw up a countdown clock on their website until Ken Cuccinelli does concede and give his congratulations to Terry McAuliffe over the phone. Mm-hmm. But because it's not that world that we live in, instead we're hearing that Chris Christie's camp was angry that Barack Obama didn't call him to congratulate him.
Yeah, exactly. I'm guessing that Sean Hannity would have been all over the whiner baby whiner, right? Sore loser.
Well, the crazy thing here,
if it were a Democrat that had,
of course they would. I mean, they would have beaten it into the ground as much as they are right now about the money issue in Virginia or any other thing. The interesting thing to me is where Chris Christie fell down. Of all the groups that voted in 2013 in New Jersey, the only segment of the population that Chris Christie did not win was young people 18 to 29. And in Virginia, and this just shows you when you're obsessed with sodomy and lady parts and anti-climate science and everything else, young people will be turned off by it. The percentage of young people increased in Virginia over the last 4 years in the voting, and Cuccinelli's share of the young vote down 15 points since the last gubernatorial election. Terry McAuliffe's share of the electorate up since the last election. These politicians, they want to keep being obsessed with ladies' vaginas and gay bedrooms and global climate science denial, and they will continue to lose what is becoming a very big and influential part of the electorate.
Well, and you are a helper, as always. You tweeted, too bad Ken Cuccinelli is against sodomy. Would probably make him feel better after the pounding he's going to take today.
Well, and I hope, I have my fingers crossed that he had a good night afterwards, because, I want everybody to have fun, unlike Ken Cuccinelli.
Right. And by the way, you said it was the best gay year ever. Houston and Seattle elected LGBT mayors, and I'm going to Chicago today for where Illinois has become the 15th state, right, to legalize.
Well, you better limit your boxed wine intake, or else you might come back with a bride.
I think so. I may accidentally gay marry.
Michael Medved might be your gay wife.
Oh, God. Or you might marry the actual Billy Goat at the Billy Goat Tavern.
I will make him my bitch tonight, but that's a totally different story. is your ride here? Sorry, do you have to go now?
No, just an alarm outside. But it was a big gay night. I mean, and it wasn't just there. We, you know, Illinois, Hawaii looks like it's on the cusp of passing marriage equality. And gay candidates all over the country won in races for city council and state legislature. And a smattering of mayors. Looks like we're going to have a gay governor in Maine. I mean, at a certain point, you just expect the right-wing evangelical wing of the Republican Party to collectively explode.
Yes, perhaps. By the way, Hawaii seems late, so they've already been giving out free lays for years, you know. And it seems...
See what you did there.
I'm pretty sure that means mahalo, and mahalo means gay marriage.
Yeah, that's what that is.
I'm not too clear on the language, but I think that's what it means.
Mahalo means hey, girl.
Right. Hey, girl, hey.
Hey, you tweeted, leave Senator Rand Paul alone. If he can't employ racists, of course he's going to hire plagiarists. He looks the poor fellow looks a little stressed out, doesn't he?
Well, I mean, at a certain point, you know, it was funny when it was first like Wikipedia, and then when it was like, okay, dude, you're plagiarizing your speeches, your book, the columns. Nobody in their right mind thinks that Rand Paul is writing all of this stuff himself, but he's employing people who are so freaking lazy.
Right.
And they should be fired, frankly. I mean, the idea, I've been in those jobs before where you write speeches and columns for your boss. The idea that you would never consider copy and pasting from somebody else's work or from Wikipedia, from anywhere else. But it's obviously been the only way that his press staff has known how to get through their job. It's fascinating to me that, you know, he fired that racist guy that was working for him.
Right. White Avenger. Right.
Right. Apparently, he's got a team of plagiarists that work for him, too.
Wow. Well, you know what? Give them a break. They have to stare at that hair all day. The pressure must be just not to say anything alone. It must be immense. Get a comb!
Right.
All right. Carl Frisch, great stuff as always. Talk to you next week, honey.
All righty. Have a good
one. All right. There he goes. All right. 18 minutes after the hour, we roll along on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Like being stung by a bee or getting a splinter. Or being chained to a wall in someone's sex dungeon.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Oh, dear. Look at that headline. Routine traffic stop results in nightmare 14-hour anal cavity search at a hospital for a male driver who failed to halt at a stop sign.
Oh.
Yikes. That's Ken Cuccinelli's dream world. Right? Oh, God.
It's got to be some form of sodomy, though.
Right? 14-hour anal, right? Don't you think?
I would think so.
That would have been illegal in Ken Cuccinelli's Virginia. You can't be up in there for any reason.
That seems a little harsh.
Yeah, seems. Seems a little retaliatory.
Yeah.
Ron in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ron.
Hey, Stephanie. Thanks for taking my call today. Hey, you were mentioning with the other caller about the Hawaii legislature issue. About the gay marriage was being passed.
Yeah. Yes.
And what I wanted, I'm taking myself off speakerphone. Hang on.
Thank
what I wanted to, yeah, what I wanted to say was, Judge Jordan, one of the legislators there, she's a gay woman. She voted against it, but she came out and said that she had to do it with the voter conscience, even though she knew she was voting against something that would benefit her.
Yeah, I saw that.
I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. They sent her a string of tweets about it, and what I don't understand is, you know, her reasoning was the other side was so vocally opposed to it that she felt it was the right thing to do. And it just doesn't, to me, being vocally opposed to something doesn't make it any more right.
I mean, I would have one thing to say to her. Why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself?
Yeah.
That's exactly. And a lot of people are saying that about her today. They're using, you know, less flattering terms than that. But, you know, a lot of that testimony she heard was based on fear, bigotry, hate, and just utter nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and And that doesn't get to play into when you vote on our civil rights. We already have those rights. The Constitution protects them. We've been granted those rights through the Declaration of Independence. And her job was to uphold them, not decide that the other side was just so vocally opposed that they had the better argument to
right.
make their difference. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, if you've just tuned in, the Hawaii, after 55 hours of testimony.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a lot of fear and bigotry.
Yeah, it was.
Voted to pass Hawaii's marriage equality bill, Senate Bill 1. It's called, and the bill now goes to the full House for a final vote. So,
yeah.
That's big gay news.
Well, you know, the big mega churches in Hawaii mobilized and sent all of their people to the legislature to testify against it. So that's what happened there.
Bob in Illinois on gay marriage as well. Hello, Bob.
Hey, Stephanie. We're really in a quandary out here about this whole gay marriage thing, because we considered ourselves pretty normal out here, and we didn't think that this was ever going to happen.
Normal? What's normal?
Well, not gay.
Not gay.
You don't want any gay on you, because that's not...
No, and we were wondering, this is just another thing in our state. I mean, our state's been run by Democrats for a long time, and we are the worst credit-rated state, where our pension funds are all history. Our last two governors have gone to jail. I mean, we're really in bad shape, and this is just...
And that's already just what the gays
this
have done.
This is all we needed now.
And the gays are responsible?
Well, partly, I guess.
Oh, really?
Really?
The gays ruined the credit of Illinois.
Everybody did.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so why are you taking it out on the gays?
The gays caused the corrupt governors?
I guess.
Oh.
Why are you taking it out on the gays, dude?
That's just part of the population. hopefully this gets repealed.
You're singling out the gays, even though you said everybody's responsible for it. Why is that? He didn't.
I guess he was out of ideas. Wow. Well, I will personally apologize to Illinois when I fly to Chicago later today.
Look what the homosexuals have done to me.
Apparently responsible for Blagojevich's hair as well.
Yeah.
We apologize. I am so sorry.
Wow.
Wow. Okay.
That was just...
Oh, my
He had
God.
No reason. That was just bigotry at work.
We're just...
That's all
I thought we were normal, and I guess we're not. All right. Well, booga, 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 booga. Let me just shake that off. All right. I am. What is the new book? Double Down.
It's called.
The new Mark Halperin book on the 2012 race, the Hunt for Pufferfish. The fun facts are fun in here.
God, that's an awesome chapter.
What do you call it? Carl Frisch just said. I mean, it is interesting. You get this conventional wisdom, like you know, Rudy Giuliani would have it locked up and. A lot of people, that's what they're saying, the vetting on him.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying if he would have run against Mitt Romney, that's what his vetters said. If he had joined the last, he said we would have destroyed him and he wouldn't have been able to run for governor again.
Right.
That's how bad it is. and apparently the vetting team, Chris, consisted of 8-year-olds. They named all of the potential vice presidential candidates after fish.
Oh.
Christie, as I said, was a puffer fish. Get it? See, because he's
fat.
Right. Rubio was pescado.
Oh, gosh, really?
And Paul Ryan was fish-consin. Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness. Oh, gosh. Get it? Because he's from Wisconsin. And so...
God, we dodged 4 years of bad humor.
Christie had banned Romney from raising money in New Jersey until Christie had given the okay to do so, a move Romney found galling, like something out of The Sopranos. He sounds like the biggest hole in the world, said one of Romney's other advisors. he insisted on private jets, lavish spreads of food. Who could have seen that coming? Space for a massive entourage. Well, starting with, is that how we refer to his own ass? I need a space for my massive... let's just call it entourage.
Entourage.
All right. More fun facts from the Chris Christie stuff. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Fresh.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Debbie Wasserman Schultz coming up on the big show, or is Rush Culture? Debbie Blabbermouth Schultz. Are they all eight? Is that what right wing humor consists of?
Yes.
Like that's funny.
That's why right wingers are not known for their humor.
Right. And Rush calling someone else chatty, or also, you know, making fun of Michelle Obama's figure. Just, you know, fill in your own joke there.
Yeah.
Okay. 1-800-STEP-12. More fun facts from the new book about the vetting of pufferfish. Speaking of right wing humor.
Why fish?
All of the vice presidential candidates, Pawlenty was lake fish. You see Minnesota, a lot of lakes.
All right.
Paul Ryan, fish consent. It's hilarious if you're six. Okay, and puffer fish. Oh, by the way, Mitt Romney's really more of a than we thought. He does not like the fatties, according to this book.
Great.
No. Well, first of all, Christie made a habit of showing up late to Romney fundraising events. Punctuality mattered to Romney. Christie's lateness bugged him. Mitt also cared about fitness. I'm reading, and was prone to poke fun at those who didn't. Oh, here's some more patented Mitt humor. Oh, there's your date for tonight, he would say to male members of his traveling crew when they spied a chunky lady on the street. Isn't that nice? More in the war on women. Isn't that lovely? Seriously?
There's your date!
Anne is rather hippie.
Well, listen, I wasn't going to go there.
Well, just saying.
Romney marveled at Christie's girth. His difficulties making his way down the narrow aisle of the campaign bus. Watching a video of Christie without his suit jacket on, Romney cackled to his aides. Guys, look at that. What a b-hole. Seriously? The list of questions Myers and her team had for Christie was extensive and troubling. More than once, Myers reported back that Trenton's response was in effect. Why do we need to give you that piece of information? Myers told her team, we have to assume if they're not answering, it's because the answer's bad.
Yeah.
The vetters were stunned by the garish controversies lurking in the shadows of his record. And that's a big shadow.
Yeah, huge shadow. See, there you go. Making fun of the fatty.
I'd fit right in with the Mitt Romney.
Yes, you would.
So he's the kind of person that thinks shoving his kid's face in butter is funny.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't. So surveying the sum and substance of what the team was finding, he told his colleagues, if Christie had been in the nomination fight against us, we would have destroyed him. He wouldn't have been able to run for governor again. When you look below the surface, Newton said, it is not pretty.
Wow.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my God.
Pufferfish.
All right. Yeah, I guess in the vetting, they found him to be a little too close to organized crime for their comfort.
Oh, really now?
Yeah, it's like his brother was involved in some racketeering.
Really?
Because
he does not look at all like a cast member from The Sopranos. That's the first time I saw him. I'm like, big pussies, Governor? New Jersey? When did that happen?
Oh, God.
All right. Well, I learned from that that, I think Carl Fisch is right that he may not be able to run for president. And number two, Mitt Romney is a
f-hole. Yeah.
Okay. Which we already sort of knew. Hey, Javier, am I saying that right? In Denver, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello. Good morning, Javier.
How are you, Stephanie?
Good, sir. Go ahead.
I think that Pufferfish is the perfect candidate in 2016 because exactly what you're talking about. He couldn't even be vetted to run with this slime ball snake serpent Romney. And so I think it's awesome. Let him be the nominee so we can have another landslide victory so we can go ahead and start single payer. Because it makes no sense. It's funny how you can sit there and argue with somebody. Is slavery right? Basically, is exporting jobs out of America. I don't even understand why we're having this debate about pufferfish. I don't even get it. Let him be the nominee. Great. Awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Awesome. Bring it on.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Jeremy in Illinois. Hey, Jeremy. Welcome. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey.
Hey, go ahead.
Hi. Well, you know, I kind of felt very compelled to call in, more so than I do most mornings, because I kind of feel like I have to defend the intelligence of the people of Illinois after the last guy.
Yeah.
Yikes.
I think, honestly, I was very happy to hear that, I live in a state that's finally recognized that everybody deserves the same legal rights. You know, it's not like anybody's out there telling this guy that he needs to be gay. I mean, you know.
Right, he can remain quote unquote normal.
right. You know what? I know a lot of gay people who I would consider to be a lot more normal than a lot of straight people I know.
And I know a lot of straight people who are really kind of abnormal.
Absolutely.
Exhibit A, that guy that calls.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to Steve in North Carolina. Hi, Steve.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I didn't realize that call was going to end so quickly. I apologize.
Oh, that's all right.
I was calling to find out if you knew. I did my own healthcare.gov search last night for my plan. And in my state, there's only one provider. And the price for someone 49 and under the best.
There's only one healthcare provider in North Carolina?
In your entire state?
That's on, in the exchange. In the exchange. Mm-hmm.
There's only one insurance company in the exchange?
Yes. And the price, however, was not bad. It was $358 for the platinum plan,
mm-hmm.
the highest one they had. However, if you turn 50, that same plan goes from $358 to $610. So it's quite a big jump from 1 year to the next. And I also found out that you cannot go into the exchange if your employer offers insurance. So
right.
you can't do that. So well, I guess you could. I think you could do that.
Does your employer offer insurance? Subsidies.
Mine does, but my employer's plan is higher priced than what I could get through the exchange. So at least it is this year. So next year it's going to change. And also, I didn't know if you had heard that they are soon going to be starting to tax the plan, the part that our employers subsidize our plans with. They're going to make that earn income, so we'll be paying taxes on that. But I didn't know if they were going to offset that with some sort of tax credit.
Okay. That seemed like a shrapnel of...
Yeah.
A spray full of...
yeah, something
this didn't... is the problem, is you can't fact-check in real time every single thing somebody says.
Right.
I sort of doubt there's only one insurance company in his exchange, number one. Number two,
why is he even going to the exchange?
I'm not sure what his issue is.
If he has insurance through his employer, why is he even going to the exchange? He didn't need to do that.
Because he said the exchange... I'm not sure what his issue is. Because then at the exchanges, he said it's a better, lower price plan. But okay. I think I'm going to preemptively call BS on that.
I think so. Yeah, something didn't sit right with me.
Chris, because it's like it felt like Jim's stomach this morning.
It did.
All right, Chris in Chicago. Hi, Chris.
Hi. Good morning, Steph.
Good morning.
Started listening to your show about 6 months ago, and I enjoy it. I actually enjoy the whole morning with Ed Schultz as well.
Yay.
Got a comment about you guys. I came in late on your conversation. You guys were talking about the gay congressman. I think she was from Hawaii.
Right.
And they're saying she voted for her, not for herself being gay, but, you know, her conscience with the people. You know, we got to remember they represent everybody, and I'm not sure what it was like in Hawaii, but if she's hearing more people you know, saying they don't want it, then she's got to vote that way. Otherwise, she's voted out of office because that's who she represents.
But, you know, as Chris said, first of all, if you check any polls, they are not in the majority, the people that are against it. And, you know, they bust in people from mega churches. It's like, you know, of course you can get bodies to show up and say things that you want. That doesn't mean...
Right. And she's a Democrat, so she'd be voting against the platform of the party.
Sure. Well, and you know, as I said, I generally vote Democratic as well, though mm-hmm. I do vote the person, you know, if I think the Democrats are wrong, though they haven't been wrong in a long time. But I just wanted to make that comment, and you know, I'm not gay myself, but, you know, I don't have a problem with people who are gay, you know. I mean, everybody deserves to have equality. So I just wanted to make that comment, and I don't know where that one gentleman came from, but he doesn't represent us all. We've got a thing we say in Illinois, there's south of 80 and north of 80, and I think he might be south of 80, I-80.
All right, not sure what that means, but I don't think it was a compliment.
Well, I know south of 80 is, you know, kind of.
Right, that's where the abnormals live?
Well, okay. Yeah.
Arnold in North Carolina. Hi, Arnold.
Hey, darling, how you doing? Listen,
hello.
That guy who talked to you from North Carolina, and I asked him to talk about Kuchelik, but that guy who called from North Carolina talking about he couldn't get some things on straight on the exchange. And, I mean, that right there show you how crazy these people are, these teabaggers are, you know. The only exchange we had down here, because, you know, teabaggers can't spell. They cross their exchange. It says, where you Will you cut your brain of exchange? That's the only thing they have, exchange down here. It's crazy. They don't have exchange because they're run by crazy teabaggers in the state.
Right.
They won't advance anything, and they shut down any kind of thing. They try to cripple the Obamacare thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so far, the election up a little bit north of me because I live right next to the border. I think that Cuccinelli and his gang, they are pissed off. That's one reason he wouldn't even come up with a conceding a statement that they did bad math. They can't spell. They can't add either. They purged 40,000 yeah. people off the rolls. And, I mean, anytime in an election you see the exit polls are not true to the raw numbers that are coming in.
Yeah.
Somebody's been hanging around with
well,
that's all
you know,
it is to
and, it. And they're still losing, you know, despite mm-hmm. all these efforts in voter suppression. So that, you know, that's got to be the silver lining. All right, Brad, real quick in Chicago before we break here. Hi, Brad.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you? Go ahead.
We're already tailgating in Rolling Meadows, waiting your arrival tonight for the great debate.
Oh, my God. You're already queuing up, are you? All right, cool.
We're jotting down lots of notes on cocktail napkins for you.
Good, thank you. Could you also do a sweep of O'Hare to make sure the alligators are all gone before Mama flies in? Would you mind?
We got it covered.
All right, thank you.
Yes.
Appreciate that.
Although, what if you want one to, you know, just kind of gently bite Michael Medved?
Charlie, our station boss in Chicago, is picking me up at the airport.
Yeah.
Dad's picking me up at the airport.
Oh,
I'm
good.
Like, well, I'll be in at X time unless I get shot at LAX or eaten by an alligator at O'Hare. So. And then I survive rush hour in Chicago, I will presumably be there. All right.
Can't you shove the alligator into Michael Medved's direction?
I'll bring it along.
Okay.
All right, 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Chaka Khan.
Stephanie Miller.
Every rocket is all I want to do. Every rocket.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. All right. We have Bob Seska coming up on the big show. Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Maya in North Carolina. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Maya.
Hi. I just wanted to confirm what that other guy said in North Carolina about how lousy the choices we have are. We actually do pay the highest rates in the country, like close to the highest rates of insurance, and they say because there's no competition. But ever since the state went so red, that's when it got super bad. McCrory is actually trying to get rid of Medicare and privatizing that.
Oi. Oi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It just goes from bad to worse.
Delightful.
It's like the embarrassing state now.
I know. Well, I guess a state of embarrassment. That's exactly right. No, I do. I really feel bad for people in red states. There's a lot of, you know, heartbreaking stories out there.
Yeah.
All right. It's particularly at holiday time. Oh, Rocky Mountain Mike reminds us. Oh, with Mary in Ann Arbor.
Yes.
It's war on. It's the war on Christmas season, as you know.
War on Christmas, darling. It's a fart, that's true, but we can see O'Reilly scream, so I'm paranoid with you. Holidays around us, for Muslims, Sikhs, and Jews, but I'm scared of their holidays.
Karen Carpenter.
Wowee. She's got some pipes.
Yeah.
And she's, I believe, going to... We're getting some opening acts set up around the country for Sexy Liberal, by the way.
Oh.
Rocky Mountain Mike and Company are going to be in Seattle for the big year-end. Chris Mahana, Kwanzaa Stefica Extravaganza in Seattle. We've got Phoenix is selling like crazy in February. We've got Madison in... It's here somewhere. Just go to sexyliberal.com or sexyliberal on Facebook. It's escaping
there.
Me for a moment.
It's here.
All right, but yeah, I believe Mary has offered to open at one of those places, do a little song or two. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Curtis in Las Vegas. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Curtis.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
I was telling your screener. I'm not worried about Christy. But there's one thing that people are forgetting, and he mentioned this to me. Was in the yesterday was in the newspaper at the back pages though. Christy says he's such a fiscal guy and he's all about New Jersey. Well, he cost him $24 million because you notice he didn't allow Booker to run with him, and it would have been a lot easier for him to allow Booker to run.
Yeah, and by the way, Curtis, he wouldn't have had as big a margin as he did if he had,
Exactly, and everybody knows that. So, you know, all the people in the media now, they're all on Christie, and he's this guy, and he's, I hope he runs for the, I hope he is a nominee. I don't think he'll get that far because the fact that he shook Obama's hand and gave him a hug and said he's doing a good job, they're just waiting for him in the primaries, just places like South Carolina, Iowa, Alabama, those Christian Belt areas. He doesn't have a chance.
Yeah, you're right. He touched a black guy. That's got to disqualify him. I would think.
I just wish the mainstream media would talk about how, this guy's so great, but yet still, like I said, he didn't. Like my cousin had said, the news article, he cost the taxpayers $20 million. They said it was between $20 to $24 million. They're not quite sure yet.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. They're your fiscal conservatives. They just cost us how much with this shutdown? They're $24 billion, whatever it was. They're your fiscal conservatives. Oh, by the way, he thought he would slip through with that. No.
In the history of radio, since the days of Marconi, listeners have called radio stations and have had conversations with a so-called screener who instructs prospective callers on the proper etiquette when calling a radio station. No foul language, no ethnic slurs, but most importantly, do not ever, ever say the following, "As I was telling your screener." The radio host already knows that the so-called screener has been engaged in conversation with the prospective caller. It is assumed that the listener has, quote, told the screener something. That something being the information to be relayed to the radio host on the air. It is assumed that the listener would have the common sense to assume that the host is aware that the screener has had a conversation with the listener, presumably about what the listener was about to convey to the host, and that the whole thing has been a huge waste of time, and that you can't spell assume without ass, and furthermore, I hate you and your ass face. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
Well, since Jim couldn't be here.
No, Jim is...
on the toilet.
Right.
As we speak.
Right, and we wish him well. All right. 58 minutes after the hour, we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
This portion of the Stephanie Miller Show is brought to you by NoFeathersPlease.com. Visit NoFeathersPlease.com for organic cotton, wool, feather-free bedding, and more. Made in the USA, and your purchase helps support small family farms and businesses. That's NoFeathersPlease.com.
Thank you. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz coming up on the big show, along with Bob Seska of the Daily Banter. It's an unsolicited testimonial from, who is this? Fran in Phoenix. Staff got my front row seat at the Phoenix Orpheum for what I hope becomes our biannual Sexy Liberal Funny Fondle. Ooh, heavens.
Oh, dear.
Give my love to the boys, both human and canine. Look forward to see you in February. February! Those tickets are going fast, for heaven's sakes. You better hurry for the February Sexy Liberal. Or not. Or this is where the spot would normally come in, but that's okay. At least Jim's here. Oh, no, he's not. Alrighty then.
Oh, boy.
Okay, is our computer broken again?
Yes.
Good news. David in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, David. Hello, David.
Hey, we've got, hello?
Hi, go ahead.
Oh, okay, sorry. Yeah, we've got our sexy liberal meet and greet tickets, so we're really psyched.
Yay, December 14th, hooray.
Yes. And anyway, so Chris Christie was not invited to this past CPAC or the Values Voters Summit. And so once he won the governorship, the reelection for his governorship, the media didn't mention it once. And as far as the Affordable Care Act, those that are going to be turning 26 coming off of their parents' health insurance plans, I'm sure the Republicans are freaking out because those are new customers for the insurance companies.
Right. Right. Yeah, I mean, I think people are starting to get wise, David, to a lot of the stuff that they're reflexively blaming the president for. It's because of insurance companies. They haven't suddenly changed their stripes, you know?
Exactly.
Yep. All right, honey. Thank you. All right. So Kathleen Sebelius, did she have to go testify yet again?
Yeah, she's been doing it for the past couple of days.
Okay, here she is.
Delaying the Affordable Care Act wouldn't delay people's cancer or diabetes or Parkinson's. Didn't delay the need for mental health services or cholesterol screenings or prenatal care.
Yeah, and she made a good point. She said for millions of Americans, delay is not an option. People's lives depend on this. I was, quoting from Frank Gruny's piece in the New York Times this past Sunday. You know, he had a good friend, and he wrote very movingly about this, that died of prostate cancer last year because he didn't have health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that's the tragedies that Obamacare is going to come too late for some people. So it's just, Bob Seska, by the way, he channels my anger about this stuff so well. Because he was talking about the same thing I am, like Bill Kristol, whoever it is, you see chuckling it up, just yucking it up. And it's like, okay, that's funny because people are going to die because you're yucking it up that you think you have a political victory here. So anyway, Kathleen Sebelius also acknowledged that the long-awaited enrollment figures for the rocky first month of Obamacare will be very low. And again, that's going to be just another victory lap for them.
Right.
I don't think anybody that's a surprise to anybody. Obviously, the website was a disaster. They're fixing it. It's apparently sounds like it's going to be on track to be fixed by when they said by the end of November. So she also repeated the administration's commitment to having the site repaired by the end of this month. She reported progress on the list of a couple hundred of fixes that have been identified, but admitted we are not where we need to be. She said experts who have looked at the site said that it could be repaired without having to take the site down completely. And again, these Republicans are not interested in doing anything but shutting down Obamacare entirely. Of course, they're like, oh, shut the site down. It's like, yes, you'd like that, wouldn't you? I mean, it's just... All right. Oh, did we find the promo?
Well,
okay.
Yeah, we already...
All right. Here it is, then.
Stephanie Miller is an American political commentator, comedian, and host of The Stephanie Miller Show.
Haven't I read that somewhere before?
May I continue? Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour brings together three liberal comedians for an evening of liberal humor and comment.
That's it. You're lifting the script straight from Wikipedia. Here, let me do this. On Saturday, February 15th, the original Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is coming to Phoenix, Arizona, and will perform live at the Orpheum Theater.
The Orpheum Theater is a 1,364-seat theater.
Seriously, knock it off. Tickets are available by going to Ticketmaster.com. Don't miss your chance to see the authentic, one-of-a-kind, never-copied Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour. February 15th, live at the Orpheum Theater. Get your tickets now. Go to Ticketmaster.com.
All right, thank you, Shano. Yeah, by the way, our website is 10 times as glitchy as Obamacare, or that computer in particular.
Yes.
That one right there. All right. Yesterday, we got a delightful letter about you, Chris, being, one of those deadbeat guys.
Oh, yeah, because I'm impregnating chicks all
right.
over the city and
right.
not paying for their child support.
You're a womanizing deadbeat.
That's right.
Who said that you don't understand why men should pay for pregnancy coverage. A very perceptive listener.
Sure.
Wrote in.
Yes.
I think you've been properly admonished.
I think I have.
So I just thought this headline was for you yesterday. Michael Hiltzik in the LA Times. Yes, men should pay for pregnancy coverage, and here's why. Chris.
Okay.
And he actually wrote Chris.
He did not actually write Chris.
Yeah, he clearly listened yesterday.
Okay.
Anti-Obamacare conservatives are chuckling over an exchange from the House is good. This is, again, goes to the point of, I'm sick of these people chuckling like this is some big joke when it's life or death for a lot of people. They're chuckling over an exchange from the House's grilling of Kathleen Sebelius Wednesday morning, in which Representative Renee Elmers, Republican of North Carolina, challenged her to explain why men should have to pay for maternity coverage in their health insurance plans. To the best of your knowledge, has a man ever delivered a baby? Elmers and her cheering section seemed to think this was a hilarious, a conclusive slam dunk, let me hear a rimshot punchline. Elmers was on her A game, the deep thinkers over at Breitbart decided.
Yeah.
The reality is, of course, that Elmer's question revealed only her profound ignorance of how health insurance works and how babies are made. And how her lack of desire to learn. That goes for anyone else who thought it was a smart telling blow. I mean, this is just one continuous game of gotcha, like, oh, isn't that a clever line?
Yeah.
Who's the guy with the prop? With the iceberg above the water? You got a chart behind him? Oy.
You know, these new Republicans and these Tea Partiers, they're not deep thinkers. They're quip machines.
Right.
That's all they are.
Yeah, this is all about sound bites. It's not about life or death for a lot of people. Anyway, he just says, let's examine why maternity care is written into all insurance policies under affordable care. Number one, it takes two to tango. Chris. And he wrote Chris again
there.
Sure,
yes, okay, yes.
It is no baby has ever been born without a man being involved somewhere along the line.
Especially a man hungry or a woman hungry man.
Right.
Who just, impregnates women indiscriminately.
Yeah, willy-nilly, like you.
Yeah.
Number two, society has a vested interest in healthy babies and mothers. And that's all society, because unhealthy babies and mothers impose a cost on everyone, the expense of caring for them as wards of the public. Mm-hmm. And again, as I often say, sometimes you have to have a cost reason to talk Republicans into doing this the right thing. Child mortality rates are among the most important indicators of a nation's overall health profile. The U.S. rate stinks as compared to the rest of the industrialized world. How is that okay in America? The most important reason is this one. Number three, universal coverage is the only way to make maternity coverage affordable. And anyone that's had a baby can tell you this. The cost of maternity and newborn care is the principal reason that pre-Obamacare women were systematically charged more for health insurance than men. That's why you hear women saying being a woman was considered a pre-existing condition. That's the principle of universal coverage inherent in Obamacare, after all. Once you start segmenting the market so that only those vulnerable to a specific condition can buy insurance for that condition, the cost of that coverage soars into outer space. He calls them cross-subsidies, and that's exactly what it is. We've tried to explain this, like, a number of times, but it's common throughout the Affordable Care Act. Younger people subsidize older people and will be subsidized themselves when they grow older. Women subsidize men. For some reason, imposing the cost of prostate cancer screening and treatment on women never seems to be part of the conversation.
Or,
thank you.
Or Viagra treatment.
Ballsack. Pardon me?
Or Viagra
exactly.
Coverage.
Thank you. Thank you.
As far as I know, women can't get...
Uh-huh. Childless people subsidize the cost of children's health coverage. I don't know. Ask Ann Coulter.
Well,
men subsidize women in other particulars, too. Breast cancer treatment, for example. Cross-subsidies like this are an inexorable part of life in a society and by no means limited to health insurance. And I use the public education sample. I don't want to pay for your germ wagons out there, but I do. It's embedded in state tax. Even people whose kids graduated 20 years ago or educated their kids privately who never had kids, that's because education is a social good like health. Everybody pays for highways, even those who don't drive, because one way or another they get the benefit. Anyway, Michael Hill said good stuff in the LA Times. Chris.
What if I just said that just to be devil's advocate, to get the show moving?
Have some principles, for God's sake.
I'm a producer. I have no principles.
See, look, women fighting back. Women respond to... Remember we were talking about the motorboating for cancer?
Yes. I think it's a fantastic idea.
Right. It's a men are offering to motorboat if they'll give money to breast cancer research if they're allowed to motorboat.
That's hysterical.
Right. Gawker brings us the story. Women respond by cupping balls for cancer.
Which is also hysterical.
After a group of guys tried to raise money for breast cancer research by going around motorboating random women, many wondered where the world might see a reverse campaign featuring women cupping men's testicles to raise money for prostate cancer research. Enter a French manufacturer of antibacterial hand sanitizer, which I think is probably wise after the aforementioned
cupping of
activity.
Yeah.
Just in time for November, the worldwide month-long prostate cancer awareness campaign that started as a pub joke. They unleashed a team of professional ball handlers to cup as many crotches as they could with money going toward male cancer charities. Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Giving back. It's the holiday season. All told, the touching raise just on under $700 for cancer research. Oh, dear. Which doesn't sound like that much until you consider the group of girls they sent out to perform prostate exams came back empty-handed. Thank you, Bucker.
Well, it is Movember, you know.
Movember, that's right. Sorry.
Yes, it's men across the country are growing mustaches in order to raise money for men's health issues.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I will. You know what? I will help tonight in Chicago. I will offer to cup a few.
Oh, I dare you to cut Michael Medved's.
If you bought VIP tickets. Okay, 17 and I.
Cut Michael Medved's.
Maybe I will. I'll just give him a little testogram way of saying hello instead of the handshake. He won't see that coming.
No, he won't.
Just gently.
Is that how it sounds?
Hiya. Okay, 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm very embarrassed for you for what goes on your show. It's just dirty stuff, and you all laugh so stupidly like a bunch of idiots.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. I shot the sheriff, but I didn't shoot. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour, Bob Seska and Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz coming up on the big show. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Elizabeth lives in Beaver Lake. Hi, Elizabeth in Beaver Lake.
Hey, I'm your official burnt-out psych nurse, but I've also worked a lot of other areas of nursing. And Chris, my darling, no man in our industrialized society are so few that a statistically insignificant manages to get born without prenatal care and OBGYN services.
I know.
Right.
Okay.
Right. See, you were in a vagina once, at least.
Yeah. I mean, unless your mother dropped you in a potato field, and some of these guys sound like that's how they started out, but on their heads.
Right. Right. Thank you very much. We appreciate that.
You're welcome.
We need a nurse to tell us that. Thank you.
Yeah. I think I more said that to be devil's advocate.
No, of course you did. Senator Bob Menendez yesterday at the Obamacare hearings.
I find it amazing that those who seek to ascribe blame are the same folks who have spent every waking hour of the last 4 years working to dismantle, destroy, obstruct, and impede the success of the Affordable Care Act.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, you got to read Bob Seska's piece because, you know, he is somebody like many, many, many people that has a pre-existing condition. And, his headline is Sadistic Obamacare Opponents Giggle and Smirk Over Relatively Minor ACA Glitches. And, you know, he writes very movingly with a lot of anger because it affects him and people he loves. Yep. And it's just, you know, that's the thing, to watch people smirk like this is just some sort of game, you know.
It's maddening.
Yeah. Senator John Thune, Republican of South Dakota.
To me, this is a dishonest mistake. This is a dishonesty. I mean, you've been misleading the American people, and the president has, over and over and over again. And I would much rather you just come up and say, yeah, we were wrong. Yeah, we didn't tell the truth.
Oh, God. For God's sakes. Really? And again, if it weren't just a constant stream of gotcha, it might make more sense. But, once again, the president just explained it yesterday about grandfathered plan. There is... Lie is a very... Weapons of mass destruction in the Bush, that was a lie.
Yeah, it was.
Okay, Senator Orrin Hatch, Republican of you.
There is a long track record of broken promises and untruthful answers to both this committee and the American people with respect to how this law should work or would work and the impact it would have.
Oh, for God's
sake. Yet they offer up nothing to help fix the situation.
Right. Senator Mitch McConnell, Republican, Kentucky.
Look,
another
our
helper.
Constituents are worried. They feel deceived. They're very upset. And they should be. Not only with the law itself, but with the way the administration has basically brushed their concerns aside.
Oh, for God's sakes. Anyway, by the way, Rich writes, we were talking about Chris Christie, speaking of people that, you know, make it seem like all he's interested in is helping the people in New Jersey. He'll work with anybody, yada, yada. It was the Chris Christie spent $12 million of taxpayers' money to schedule the Senate election 22 days before his own so that Cory Booker wouldn't bring out more Democrats to vote for Barbara Bono. He seems to think the public treasury is his private political treasure chest. That would have rebuilt a few businesses at the Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
Right? That he seems so concerned about in his photo ops. But, you know, that's exactly it. It's they're thinking about what's best for them politically right now, not what's best for, you know. By the way, the crying at the Cuccinelli camp in the Daily Beast. Oh, that's so sad. Let me break out the tiny violin. The Cooch. Here he is, the Cooch himself yesterday.
Despite being outspent by an unprecedented $15 million, this race came down to the wire because of Obamacare. That message will go out across America tonight.
And that's, by the way, that's the Mark Levin, the delightful Mark Levin.
Yes.
More of that yesterday. Him and Rush Limbaugh and wah. Called them, I'll get one ambulance for all of them. That they stabbed him in the back. They didn't just give him money. Because he was a crappy candidate.
Yeah.
He was a crappy, fringy candidate. And Mark Levin went all caps.
Oh, God.
Which then you know it's really
serious.
Well, he
speaks in all caps.
Yes. Following Ken Cuccinelli's defeat in the Virginia gubernatorial election, conservative radio host Mark Levin took to his website to rail against the RNC in all caps for failing to fund the GOP candidate. Caps are scary. We could have won this race for the reasons I've explained here and on the air. GOP establishment and donors left the field, he wrote in a post entitled Infuriating. Now, not only would the liberals, but the rhino mouthpieces continue with their mantra about the dead Tea Party and the rhino future. Absolutely appalling. He is...
Oh, when he gets screechy, it's hilarious.
And so I guess Cuccinelli didn't call. He didn't call Terry McAuliffe
to concede.
Yeah,
nope.
Classy with a K. The Daily Beast doing a roundup of this. Obviously, the shutdown was a huge issue, particularly in northern Virginia, where many residents worked for the government.
Absolutely.
McAuliffe's key advantage lay in social issues such as abortion and birth control. He capitalized on Cuccinelli's record of taking deeply conservative positions on those issues, most notably the defense of Virginia's ban on sodomy laws. McAuliffe has emphasized Cuccinelli's absolute opposition to abortion, even in cases of rape and incest. And described him as anti-birth control. The strategy helped McAuliffe rack up big numbers with women, winning them by 51-42 margin. I love one Spotsylvania Democrat said, Cuccinelli scares the crap out of me.
Well.
And also the presence of a strong libertarian candidate played a significant role in the race. More on the Cooch. Not mine. Once again,
well,
we had to point out...
Why can't we talk about your Cooch?
Well, we can. I can include it.
All right.
Free of charge. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Let's ask you what you look like.
Stephanie Miller.
What do you think I look like?
I don't know if the voice is anything to go by. You look great.
I'm 5'10", thin, hard to miss.
This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with your team online. Now you can even present from your iPad. Try it free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Use the promo code Stephanie. All right, Jim is... So you need to fill in on Guess the Quote.
Oh, okay.
Better the occasional faults of a government that lives in a spirit of charity than the constant omission of a government frozen in the ice of its own indifference. Who said that?
Fred Savage.
No, that's a... Thank you. Jim's honor, a really bad guess. No, FDR. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, for those of you that don't recognize the initials. Okay, let's go to Jim in New York. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jim.
Hello.
Hi, Jim. Go ahead.
Hey, my congressman, Chris Gibson... 19th district in New York, comes home on break and was asking about the media was asking him about the shutdown. you know, why they went, why it was, they voted for it and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
He's blaming the Democrats for failure to negotiate.
Oh, it's, yeah, Democrats. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's right. Okay. Well, the American people.
Compete says no.
No, did not really buy that. Oh, by the way, speaking of New York, I love the Washington Post piece. New York City's incoming first family says it all with their hair.
Yeah.
It's an entire piece about the hair.
But
that is
they
the
all
most
have,
awesome fro I've ever seen. I just love the whole thing.
They all have.
A, he's really liberal. B, interracial marriage. C, she used to be a
what?
Lesbian.
Did she really?
His wife, yes. I told you that yesterday.
I must have been
awesome.
Not
See?
Paying attention.
Sexual fluidity. It's all the rage. Bill de Blasio's liberal policies aren't the only thing on display as he moves into the national stage as New York's mayor-elect, writes the Washington Post. His family's hair, also front and center. His wife.
The aforementioned former.
Right. Long dreadlocks are often pulled into a smart flowing ponytail.
Oh.
His son Dante's famously large afro stands triumphant.
That is hell of a head of hair.
That is like Link from Mod Squad times 10. It is sensational.
It's like butter.
It is awesome. His daughter, Chiara, wears her loose kinky lock frame with a band of roses. She was wearing flowers in her hair.
I saw that.
I was like, hippie-ish. It was awesome. For a rare instance in the nation's electoral history, the African-American hair politic is on full display. His wife even got in a Twitter war with someone because Dante said he only washes his hair once a week, and that's, like, normal for African-American
sure.
hair. And so
yeah.
someone tweeted about it, and she's like, you don't know the first thing. African-American hair, talk to the hand.
I'm just glad there wasn't a high-top fade among any of them.
Right.
I don't know
what your problem is with that, but okay.
That's a kid in play haircut.
Oh, right.
The high-top fade.
Oh, okay. I thought you were referring to sneakers. Okay.
No. Oh, my God. You
okay.
You are not hip with
I
the
don't
kids.
Leave the house. Ron in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ron.
Hi, Stephanie. Just short and to the point, the only place John Boehner is qualified to be speaker of is the Betty Ford Clinic. That is wrong. He's an a-hole.
Yes, I agree. By the way, so obviously a lot of the postmortem on the election, it's another postmortem for the Republicans. Their previous postmortem had to be dug up.
It's mortem.
But a lot of pieces about, obviously, now what's going to happen. Because clearly it was a really bad day. It was actually a great day for liberals, really bad day for Tea Party.
Yeah.
New York Times writing, do moderates have the guts to take the GOP back? Establishment Republicans feel pretty good about their wins yesterday in Jersey and Alabama. Many are also quietly saying, I told you so, about Ken Cuccinelli's loss in Virginia. For those traditional Chamber of Commerce wing of the party, the next year will be about regaining control from the Tea Partiers who have been driving the party's policies since 2010. A new Republican group called Main Street Advocacy is about to begin running ads against the hardliners who have done so much to embarrass the party. We want our party back, said the group's leader, and we are going to do what it takes to accomplish that. The vast majority of Republicans in the House, however, allowed the shutdown to happen. Most establishment lawmakers have sat quietly by for years as the party was pushed to the extremes. So this is going to be interesting to see how this plays out, particularly after Tuesday.
Yeah.
Even now, real moderates could tell the Speaker that they will back a discharge petition to bring the end to a vote, which Mr. Boehner has refused to do. Again, puts them way out of step with most people in the country that don't think people should be fired for being gay. They could also force a vote on the Senate's immigration bill, which has languished in the House for months, or end the highly unpopular sequester. They could have stopped this shutdown nonsense, is what the piece is saying. But that hasn't happened. Standing up to the Speaker and taking a public position on divisive issues would require actual courage, which is rarely on display in the Republican Party. Anyway, so there's only one way for the party to regain the public's trust. Taking action is much more effective than running ads.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean. They would have to actually do something that causes the orange his orangeness to actually bring something to the floor. Okay. I was finishing the crying in the Cuccinelli camp.
Yeah.
Just because they're kind of whiny baby whiners.
They are.
A prominent Republican strategist in Virginia said Cuccinelli was simply stabbed in the back by his own party.
Yeah.
He said the narrow loss was a result of fellow Republicans who jumped ship. And then they also said it was...
Where did they jump ship to?
Yeah, but this is part of more... either McAuliffe or they just didn't get involved. They didn't give money.
Huh.
Actually, the defection of many Republicans, particularly those in the donor class, helped McAuliffe put together a whopping financial advantage. So that's what Rush was whining about yesterday, too. He's very impressive. Whatever.
Also, the African-American vote didn't like Cuccinelli very much.
No.
I read that this morning.
No, what a surprise.
Yeah.
Let's go to Norm in Indiana. Hi, Norm.
Hey, how's it going today?
Good, go ahead.
So I wanted to bring up that when all the Affordable Care Act was being sold, the Republicans are talking now about the policies. They did what was in the bill. They've never said a word. And the reason why was that they know that the insurance companies have been taking advantage all along and that this bill is good for them. So now the things are happening that people didn't quite understand because they were not educated enough or because they're believing the twist, they're trying to take advantage. But the reality of it is everybody knew that the Affordable Care Act was to take the thing right from your insurance companies where they were allowed to rip you off and that type of thing.
Yep, yep, that's exactly right. That is crappy phone. Okay, yeah. No offense. Maybe you're just in a bad area. Okay, Senator Marco Rubio talking about the New Jersey race.
Well, it's important to remember every race is particular to the state that it's run in. So there are factors in New Jersey that I think are individual to that race. And clearly, he was able to speak to that and to the hopes and aspirations of people within New Jersey. And that's good. That's important. We want to win everywhere we can. And Governor Christie has certainly shown a way of winning in New Jersey and states like New Jersey because of the work he's done there as governor as well. So I congratulated him on that.
As he said yesterday, Chris Christie, he was not reelected to do small things.
Yeah.
And we said maybe they're not small. Maybe they just look small next to him.
Everything looks
right.
Small next to
okay.
him. He has gravity.
And he thinks you're crazy to think this has anything to do with him running for president.
Oh, please, it's such a burden for you to be speculating me about me being the leader of the free world. Stop. I'm so burdened. I mean, you know, that's a pretty huge ego to be complaining about that. It's complimentary. It's flattering, and I have no problem with it.
Uh-huh.
But I'm going to be really clear about this. I have a job to do.
Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, Pufferfish.
Whatever.
By the way, Mike Tomosky, who I want to date and kiss and marry.
Yep.
I'm just saying that to make Bob Seska jealous, and that's that next hour. But he actually focused on a lot of the other races we did not hear about. You always hear about the big marquee ones. Like, well, when I say big, clearly, you know, Chris Christie, the big races, big.
Sure.
Big, the huge ones. Tomosky writes, a liberal sweep of America's little votes. Local elections were taking place all over America Tuesday night, from anti-coal measures to minimum wage hikes. It was a great night for liberals. We were saying, and Carl Frisch said last hour, it was a big gay night.
Sure.
Two gay mayors elected. Marriage equality passing, Illinois. On its way, looks like, in Hawaii. Let's start with he says the voters of Virginia and New Jersey weren't the only ones holding some tea leaves in their hands last night. All across the country in obscure races you may never have heard about, voters were sending other messages, and a lot of them were surprisingly liberal. Small Seattle suburb called SeaTac. You heard mm-hmm. about this one. Voters approved a minimum wage hike to a whopping $15 an hour for most workers at Seattle's main airport. It's more than twice the federal minimum wage of $7.25. That could change the conversation nationally.
That's right.
We shall see. Also out in Washington, 70 or so miles north in Bellingham, a city council election of all things turned into a national referendum on big coal versus environmentalists. It looks like the Green Team is winning there. The New York-based Working Families Party, a labor-backed third-party movement that exerted influence for two decades in New York politics, scored a big win by backing Bill de Blasio in New York. It arguably scored an emotionally more important win in Bridgeport, Connecticut, where it took over the school board. In New Jersey, Chris Christie may have won big. But he didn't mean it.
Yeah.
The same voters gave him a little slap in the face. During his first term, Christie vetoed a minimum wage increase. He's no friend to workers, as we know.
Mm-hmm.
But Tuesday, New Jersey voters like those in SeaTac backed a minimum wage increase for the state up to $8.25. Combine that with the exit poll results showing that Jersey's voters today would back Hillary Clinton over him for president by 50-43. Yeah, as Carl Frisch says, hold on there a minute with anointing Chris Christie. I mean, you know what I mean? Did you just that is really important. I thought that was one of the most important exit polls. Hillary Clinton would kick his ass in New Jersey. He would lose his home state if you think that, you know, he's somehow inevitable.
Yeah.
For
and we haven't seen all the vetting information that the Romneys seem to have dug up.
All the pufferfish.
Yes.
Information.
So there's all that.
All right.
Still needs to up here.
Exactly. All right. 44 minutes after the hour, we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my. How ruthlessly absurd.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
You're
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. All right. 1-800-STEP-12. Tom in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Mama. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, here's something that you don't hear spoken about a lot. That gay marriage bill that passed in Illinois, the 61st vote was a female politician from Urbana, Illinois, who left her son's deathbed to Springfield to vote for that passage of that bill. He was in hospice. She went back, and he's since passed. So there's profound courage for you.
Wow. Wow. That is.
Oh, we thank her for her vote. Wow.
Yeah. That is. You should Google that. Find out who she is. Like you say, I'm up in Chicago, and she's down south of I-80. And I'm not really sure what her name was, but you don't hear much of that other than in the Illinois area.
Yeah.
Another thing, too, I'm looking forward to seeing you tonight.
Oh, good. I will see you at the Great Debate 3.
Don't worry about that alligator. We already made a nice purse out of him.
Oh, good. Perfect. Thank you. Thanks for sweeping O'Hare for me. I appreciate it. Okay. Rich is also going. Steph, my son Dominic and I will be cheering you on the Great Debate 3 tonight in Rolling Meadows. Looking forward to watching you kick the butt of Michael Medved. Yeah, you know what I realized, Chris? I don't even need to be sober for that.
Really?
I kick his butt sober on TV all the time. Well, the party is such a mess. The poor guy. The poor little fella.
Where do you ever sober on TV?
I am occasionally, depending if it's an earlier show.
Oh, I see.
Speaking of the TV, Heather writes, Steph, I turned on the Boomerang TV channel for my little germ wagon.
Uh-huh. I love that channel.
I mean, son. And the real polite chipmunk, I mean, gophers, were on.
After you. Oh, no. You first. Thank you.
The clip you always play was on. I started craning my neck to see where the Stephanie Miller Show was coming from. Wait, I thought, did they find their new TV home? No, it was the actual polite chipmunks, I mean, gophers.
Yeah. They're gophers.
They're fictional. How lame is that? I have a child, but I'm obviously still a loser. Thank you, Heather.
I watch the Boomerang Network all the time.
Thank you for making us childless losers feel better.
They run the old Tom and Jerry cartoons.
By the way, we do have a new TV home. We just can't tell you yet or we'd have to kill you.
We do.
It's a little, we'll explain as soon as we can. It's a complex thing that involves more than one outlet, and that's why it's taken so long. And also technical things are going in and happening, and we can't announce yet.
As they say on Facebook, in relationships, it's complicated.
It's complicated.
Yes.
Exactly.
That usually means I'm in a threesome.
We are not. Oh, perhaps that is what it means for us.
Who can say?
In a weird way. Okay. All right. By the way, speaking of threesomes, a lot of sexy liberal strange that is to be had at sexy liberal shows, just staying. And December 14th, the last 2013 show in Seattle, going very, very quickly. February, Phoenix just went on sale a couple days ago. Going insane.
I'm
going
to be at that one.
Madison, in March, is almost sold out as well. For God's sakes, go get it. Yes, you are. We're going to drive, and we're going to bring the huggies.
Yes, we are.
Because, when you're acquainted with that being a deadbeat dad as you are.
Of course I am.
That does not believe in pregnancy coverage for people, women.
Son, do you know you're wearing a woman's panty on your head? I love that movie.
All right. We were talking about the inevitability or not of Chris Christie. Carl Frisch thinks no way, as we talked to him last hour. I was mentioning this to Chris Matthews on the show yesterday. Mm-hmm. Frank Bruni, what an interesting piece. Hillary in 2016, not so fast. So, about her inevitability, and I didn't take this that he's not for her. He's just looking at the landscape. He said, she, blah, 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 over a six-month period when she made no big news whatsoever, her popularity took a double-digit tumble. He's just talking about how random politics can be. A poll released last week by NBC News and Wall Street Journal charted the decline. Her favorability dropped from 46 from 56. Here we go, the beginning of the end of her inevitability, he writes. Voters are souring. I mean, his point is voters are souring on familiar political operators, especially those in or associated with Washington. Would she be spared a potentially disruptive challenger from the left in the Democratic primaries? The ascent of Bill de Blasio and the cult fervor for Elizabeth Warren demonstrate an appetite right now for liberal firebrands. So that'll be interesting, although Elizabeth Warren signed that letter from all the Senate Democratic women urging Hillary to run. I don't know what that means.
All the Senate Democratic women. They're all on board.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Organized by B-Box, who?
Rocks.
Exactly. Okay. By the way, so we've been talking about just the obstructionism of the, well, Republicans on everything. I'm fill in the blank. Right now, the Affordable Care Act. But Doyle McManus wrote a really important piece, I thought, in the L.A. Times yesterday on Iran. We said yesterday, the thing that just makes me insane about the quote-unquote liberal media, have you heard anywhere that Syria disarmed?
No.
Everybody, pay attention. Syria has disarmed without us firing a shot. In the middle of a civil war, all you naysayers. I mean, has there been one? Have you seen it? Have you seen anyone say we were wrong? Thank you, President Obama. Wow.
Nope.
There's a difference from Iraq. No, nothing. But anyway, Iran is a really important issue. And Doyle McManus writes, after years of fruitless negotiations, the U.S. may soon face an unfamiliar problem in its long confrontation with Iran. Are we willing to take yes for an answer? Negotiators are scheduled to meet again in Geneva this week to try to move forward an agreement that would put reliable limits on Iran's nuclear program, limits strong enough to reassure other countries that the mullahs cannot build a nuclear weapon. On Capitol Hill, meanwhile, American hardliners have made it clear they want to toughen sanctions on Iraq. On Iran, not relax them. And as I said last time we talked about this, let the president do some presidenting, for God's sakes. The Congress is still discussing tougher sanctions, a move the Obama administration says would backfire by causing the negotiations to collapse and potentially cause international sanctions to unravel, too. And again, I don't trust these Republicans to not want to do that because it'll make Obama look bad. It doesn't seem like there's any we're all Americans anymore.
Nope.
But you look at Benghazi or any of this, it is all part of the same gotcha, you know, narrative.
Anything to stick it to Obama.
Doyle McManus writes, Congress should back off. In recent history, moments of opportunity between Iran and the U.S. have been rare. This one shouldn't go to waste. A nuclear deal with Iran, if one can be struck, will deserve tough scrutiny, but we have to be willing to take yes for an answer. And I would not put it beyond them to screw this up on purpose, because this would give the president a huge win. Can you imagine? If we got
it would give him a legacy.
I mean, if we got a huge deal with Iran, and you know Senator Huckleberry Butch me up.
You mean Lindsey Graham?
Yes. We'll have none of it. Because he's got to look butch. Tougher
sure.
sanctions. Okay. 58 minutes after the hour, back with Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Bob Seska as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. You know who was great on TV this weekend on Bill Maher's show?
Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Right, and she joins us now. Good morning, Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Good morning. How are you, Stephanie Miller?
I am good. Or as Rush Limbaugh calls you, Debbie Blabbermouth Schultz.
Are you walking on sunshine?
Yes, we are.
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
So you were great on Bill Maher.
Thank you. That's always a minefield, but lots of fun.
Right. Well, you frequently say the thing that I am yelling at the TV when the anti-Obama forces come out, right?
Well, I mean, I don't know. It was definitely. I at times felt like I was not sure that I was at a table full of people that were actually on our side.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, it was actually a pretty fair and freewheeling conversation that I think gave us an opportunity to crystallize for voters and for people who are paying attention to politics that, you know, democracy is bumpy and there are going to be kinks, but that the one thing that I think is crystal clear or that should be is that the path that the Tea Party is trying to put us on is one of shutdown and my way or the highway politics. And President Obama and congressional Democrats have said, you know what? We know it can't be all our way. We've got to sit down and work together. And if we don't, you know, we're going to allow the Tea Party extremists to wreak havoc on our economy and on people.
Well, what do you take away from Tuesday's election? Because I would have to say it was a good day for, you know, certainly a bad day for the Tea Party, which to me was...
You know, I think it was definitely a good day to be a Democrat. I mean, the whole 2013 election cycle, Stephanie, was a good year to run as a Democrat and win. I mean, we had, you know, from a special election for a state Senate seat in Florida, Amanda Murphy, who took a Republican seat back that hasn't been held by a Democrat in more than 20 years, against a Tea Party candidate. You've got the Tuesday night's election result where Terry McAuliffe, you know, beat Ken Cuccinelli, one of the Tea Party disciples. You just have so many examples across mayors in big cities across the country, you know, elected as committed Democrats focused on moving our economy and our country forward. And, you know, the civil war continues to rage within the Republican Party. So, you know, I mean, people are saying it wasn't such a good night for the Tea Party, but if you look, I don't think there appears to be any indication that the victor of the civil war has been anyone but the Tea Party, and that civil war I think is going to rage on, and their base of their party is the Tea Party, and that's why you have so many Republicans that are elected who are afraid and looking over their shoulder because they know they're going to draw Tea Party primary opposition and probably lose.
You know, as someone that fought so hard to get affordable health care for people, I mean, you must be as exhausted as I am watching this. You know, it seems like a constant political game of gotcha, you know, that they are not at all interested in fixing the problems in a...
You know, as someone who survived breast cancer, this challenge is kind of nothing. It makes me more focused than ever, knowing that on January 1st, you have breast cancer survivors and millions of people like me who've lived through serious illnesses, who have a pre-existing condition, who won't ever have to worry about an insurance company dropping us or denying us coverage for that condition. That peace of mind is literally days away. And what this boils down to is the Ken Cuccinellis of the world. You know, they made election day in Virginia a referendum on Obamacare, and guess who won? The guy who supports its full implementation, Terry McAuliffe. So.
Mm-hmm.
The approval ratings of the Affordable Care Act, especially since the shutdown, have gone up because people are feeling the benefits. And as it comes online and we work through those problems, they'll be even more supportive. I think we're going to be able to run as Democratic candidates on the success of Obamacare in the 2014 election.
Well, I mean, and as I say, it really is, to me, infuriating. First of all, I think I was mentioning Bill Kristol, you know, yucking it up on Meet the Press, that, oh, I can't wait to be back here. You know, it's celebrating, you know, the Affordable Care
Act.
Rooting
for failure.
Really, like, and how many dead people later, Bill? I mean,
that's exactly what it boils down to, Stephanie. I mean, I was appalled at Bill Kristol's comments. I mean, snorting and rooting for the Affordable Care Act to fail, which essentially means he's rooting for people who need access to quality, affordable health care to not be able to get it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and again, it must gall you to have to watch, you know, Secretary Sebelius when, you know, she was there begging for money to implement, you know, the website properly. Republicans didn't give it to her, and now they're demanding from her to mention the fact that all of these exchanges were not meant to be run by the government. They were meant to be run by the states, and all these Republican governors stonewalled that. So, they are obviously part of this whole problem right now.
There's no question that Republicans across the country, Republican governors, Republican legislatures, you know, Rick Scott in my home state, even denied navigators who are supposed to sit down with people who have questions about what their options are in the healthcare exchanges, denied them access to the public health care centers. They passed a law in Florida, Stephanie, to require insurance companies in the letters they send to their insured that when their policy is changing, they have to blame it on Obamacare. I mean, it's really unbelievable. But look, Secretary Sebelius, Kathleen Sebelius is a big girl. She's a strong and competent administrator, a former governor of Kansas. she very clearly understands that the website has to get fixed. It absolutely is a concern, and no one's more concerned than President Obama. So, but at the end of the day, instead of sitting back, crossing their arms, and saying, I told you so, you know, the Republicans should work with us, just like any law that's passed that was a significant change over the 200-something years that we've been a country, and work together to iron out the problems. But, yeah. You know, one of the things I talk about in For the Next Generation is that, you know, we have to agree on a basic premise, though, in order to do that.
Well,
and that
now, because I know the primary,
right.
Right, the primary reason you're here is you love me, but I do understand you do also have a book, just quite coincidentally.
I love you,
for the
and
next,
I have a book.
For the Next Generation, a wake-up call to solving our nation's problems. I mean, you know, I think the operative question are, you know, all the things you talk about in the book, creating jobs, turning around the economy, energy solution long-term, reform immigration policies, enhance and expand health care coverage. How do we ever get that done with the current makeup of the Congress?
Well, it's going to be very challenging with the current makeup of the Congress unless they have some converge, unless these either the Tea Party Republicans or the ones that are afraid of them have a conversion and realize that we've got to work together. I mean, the reason the book is called The Wake-Up Call is that I think what it's going to take is certainly for Democrats to defeat some of these Republicans and try to make sure there are more reasonable elected officials who understand that the my way or the highway politics has to end and we've got to work together. But, you know, at the end of the day, this book, and the reason I hope people read it, is that we need regular people who are struggling with balancing work and family every day, you know, moms who are trying to figure out how to get their kids the best education. I wanted to give them a roadmap and a way to kind of view the biggest problems that we're facing that are all on the back burner now because we're in the midst of this, you know, divisive, polarized environment, and give them a roadmap to getting involved in the issues that matter the most to them and how to make a difference on those issues.
What happens next in this budget fight? Are we going to have, is it going to be another complete replay of what we just saw?
Well, you know, I hope not, but it's certainly possible. I mean, if you leave it to Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio and Mike Lee, Rand Paul, they certainly haven't ruled out taking us down that road all over again. And Ted Cruz especially has clearly said that that he thought the shutdown you know was the right thing to do. I mean, and that those tactics are the kind of tactics that that should be employed in order to make changes. That's just totally the opposite of what we the way we do things in America.
Yeah, Congresswoman, as you're you know in your role as DNC chair, how do you see you know you've read as many articles as I am this you know war going on between the GOP establishment and the Tea Party, which we now see playing out again after Tuesday. How do you see that playing out, you know, and how is that going to affect 2016?
Well, it's very clear that the civil war in the Republican Party's victor is the Tea Party. I mean, they are the tail wagging the dog in the House of Representatives. John Boehner has allowed 40 or 50 of those Tea Party hardcore members to drive the agenda. We've not been able to actually find common ground because he cares more about staying in power than he does about actually working together. And because you've got, I mean, look at, you know, Lindsey Graham just announced he's going to introduce a 20-week abortion ban bill. I mean, this is the top priority that we should be focusing on in 2013 in the Congress. Really, when we're still trying to make sure we can have a more robust recovery, when we need to invest in education and infrastructure, when we need to focus on immigration reform, a 20-week abortion ban, which has no chance of passing, and also isn't constitutional. So it's just.
Well, I mean, it seems like they're only interested in sort of, you know, what's the word, legislative tricks. I mean, what's this latest thing? They're trying to, you know, have legislation that, you know, enshrines the president saying, you know, another game of gotcha, the president saying if you'd like your plan, you can keep it, which, of course, is just another sneaky way of trying to repeal the basis of the Affordable Care Act, right?
That's everything they do related to the Affordable Care Act is designed to delay or repeal it or put an obstacle in the path of people who simply are trying to make sure that they can stay healthy. You know, my parents raised me to understand that if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. And when you have actually faced that, you understand it. But look at the benefits that have been in place since 2010 of the Affordable Care Act. Young adults being able to stay on their parents' insurance until they're 26. That's what Ted Cruz and his Tea Party cronies want to take away. Closing the prescription drug donut hole for seniors so that I don't have to stand online behind seniors that I represent in South Florida. And when 5 or 6 prescriptions come to the counter, they have to leave 2 or 3 of them before to take them all home. That angst is a thing of the past that the Republicans want to restore in the hearts of seniors who are trying to stay healthy.
And by the way, that's my mom, and you know those pills that she takes are for the same reason that probably that you have is because she had breast cancer, and they keep her alive.
That's right, and make it much less likely that she's going to have to suffer a recurrence. And look, the older that people get, we know the more aches and pains. And I Lord knows I represent a lot of wonderful seniors who spend a lot of time, you know, focused on those aches and pains. But the Affordable Care Act now gives them a wellness visit without a copay or a deductible so that they can go to the doctor every year and get a checkup and make it more likely that if there is an illness, that they catch it early. And then we reduced our overall cost of health care, because if you catch illness later, you know the health care is more expensive.
But, Debbie, what about the death panels? I kid. All right. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who is not here because she has a book called For the Next Generation, A Wake-Up Call to Solving Our Nation's Problems, but because she loves me. But she also happens to have a book. Thanks so much, Congresswoman. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Stephanie.
All right.
Great to be with
there
you.
There she goes. Chairwoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz,
yep.
Who is the awesome.
She is.
All right. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Not bad. Like Frisbee golf, I'm glad I tried it once.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12. Bob Seska of the Daily Banter joins us at the bottom of the hour. Michael in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hello.
GOP stands for either Grand Obstructionist Party or Guardians of Privilege.
Uh-huh.
You be the judge.
Hey.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm a huge fan. You're gone from Seattle. I miss you so much.
Oh, but I will be back December 14th at the Orpheum. Oh, wait, I'm getting my theaters. Wait, that's the Paramount.
Paramount.
That's the Paramount, December 14th. All right, go ahead.
I will be there. Hey, I'm calling because I just want to wish you luck to pull out a big kind of whoop-ass on Michael Medved. Tonight, I have been debating Mr. Medved on the air since 1996. And between his rancid diatribes, toxic tirades, his show is nothing but a blizzard of lies. And I just want to point out a few things that literally, Stephanie, for years, Michael has called for abolishing the minimum wage,
uh-huh.
Abolishing the Head Start program, abolishing WIC, abolishing the Children's Health Insurance program, meaning overnight over 8 million kids would be, you know, booted off their health care program, and basically abolishing and eviscerating the entire social safety net. Meanwhile, he was nothing but a uber apologist during George Bush's catastrophic reign of error.
Right.
And of course, under President Clinton, 7 million Americans were lifted out of poverty. Under his catastrophic reign of error, 5 million Americans fell into poverty. And what people don't know is that Social Security and Medicare have been great success stories. Half our seniors, as you know, Stephanie, were living in poverty before mm-hmm. Social Security. Now it's 9%.
Yep.
Under Medicare.
You know, look at these ridiculous, these really morally outrageous food stamp cuts.
Yeah.
And what people, you know, the vast majority of people are working poor. Emphasis on working. They're not looking for handouts. And it is it's morally reprehensible. All right, a love letter from Tavo.
Oh.
Steph, I saw the Sexy Liberal Show here in Chicago a few years ago. Fell in love with you. After watching your show, I started listening to your radio program. My husband is very political and turned me on to your show. Oh, he's a dude married to a dude.
Oh, is that legal?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's going to be in Chicago.
You make my day, and if I was a woman, I would be dirty with you. But as a gay man, ew.
Well,
thanks. Oh, thanks.
I feel his pain.
Ew. All right. It's the holiday season. What can I say? Oh, speaking of the holidays and Seattle, everybody.
In a world
with Washington gridlock, Tea Party obstruction, economic chaos.
I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it.
There's only one way to get into the holiday spirit.
Stephanie Miller.
Let's kick back and get into the spirit.
Just in time for the holidays, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is coming to Seattle. On Saturday, December 14th, John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and your favorite progressive radio star, Stephanie Miller, will perform live at the Paramount Theater in Seattle, Washington. Tickets are available at stgpresents.org. Come celebrate Christmas Hana Stefa Kwanzaa.
The war on Christmas was worse than you thought.
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, December 14th at the Paramount Theater. Get your tickets now. Go to sdgpresents.org.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Tickets are going very, very fast there. So do it. Get it. All right. Filling in for Jim Ward once again on Guess the Quote, Chris.
Okay. All right.
Do your best or worst, whichever.
Okay.
If you think about this, Virginia is the home state of the NRA. That's where their headquarters are. If I had said to you 20 years ago that a Democrat that is F-rated by the NRA could win governor, you would have laughed me out of the room. From my personal point of view, and I represent New York City, when we stop people with guns, illegal guns, more of them come from Virginia, sadly, than from any other state. That was one of the factors that convinced me I should put money into this race. Who said that?
Kirk Cameron.
No, that's a bad guess. That was really, really easy. Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
Oh, okay.
Who said the McCulloch win is a big loss for the NRA, to which I say... Okay. All right. 29 minutes after the hour, Bob Seska is mad and about the affordable. People snickering, the Republicans rooting and snickering against the Affordable Care Act. He will talk to us next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
This is turning into one very sexy struggle for the future of the human race.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Oh, speaking of sexy liberals, sexy liberal John Fugelsang will be filling in for me tomorrow with the Mooks.
Well.
Because I'm going to Chicago to kick Michael Medved's ass tonight. Debate him.
If Jim can get off the toilet.
Right. If Jim is better. All right, but John will be filling in tomorrow. And by the way, go to sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal on Facebook for all of the upcoming shows. All right, speaking of sexy liberals, Bob Seska of the Daily Banter. Hello, sir.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
Good morning, sir. I am. Well, you know what? When you're mad, it is sexy.
Well, good. I'll get mad more often.
But it was funny. I was just talking to Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and she had the same reaction I did too. In my case, it was watching Bill Kristol on Meet the Press, just smirking and laughing, and can't wait for the Affordable Care Act to die, and he can't wait to come back on the show and laugh about it. And I thought, wow, isn't that nice for all the people that will die between then and now?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I love this this glee, this sort of frat boy giddiness over, a couple of relatively minor mistakes. But there's a weird sadism about this where, it also extends to guys like the Koch brothers who are spending millions of dollars on a campaign to keep poor people from getting health care. I mean, it is absolutely remarkable.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you write this week, there's something egregiously disgusting about the increasingly desperate opposition to the Affordable Care Act. In addition to the breathlessly tenacious campaign to undermine, defund, and repeal the law, there's an almost delighted, smirky, satisfied attitude on display that seems especially immoral as various glitches in the ACA emerge. Despite the fact the ACA's problems are relatively minor, opponents are practically orgasmic, Bob Seska writes, as they systematically inflate each glitch into the portent of the ACA's demise.
Yeah. Well, there was this guy on CNN, Will Cain. I mean,
yes.
just
yeah.
I mean, you want to talk about a world-class douchebag. I mean, I wanted to just reach into my screen. And I seldom say things like this, and this will give you an indication of how angry this segment made me. I mean, not only did he mix his sports metaphors by, you know, Ashley Banfield setting it up for him as if this is going to be some easy cakewalk. I'm going to throw you some softballs here so you can just slam this law. But, you know, he's just got this smirky, giddy, insufferable attitude that just, oh my God, I wanted to reach into the screen and throttle him.
Well, and this may be my favorite Bob Seska line ever. You said, this isn't a game. It's not a fun time political beach ball for well-insured, wealthy pundits to bat around with their hopelessly flaccid penises.
Wow! Go, Bob!
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, it does, like you say, it's like, I think he said, oh, it's time to spike it, like a, you know, spike the football. I mean, you said this is a law that will help millions of Americans to not go broke or worse if they become sick or injured. And
yeah. He said, you teed it up for me. It's time to spike it. So he's mixing in his best Tom Friedman impression. He's mixing his metaphors, you know, golf and volleyball for some reason.
He buttered his bread. It's time for him to lie in it. But, you know, but you say, so to experience this such manic, giggly schoolboy titillation in the face of anything that might undermine the future of this law is utterly cruel and sadistic.
Yeah,
I mean, and as we've been saying this over and over again, blame the insurance companies, not the law, then thank the ACA, because now those people can sign up for better policies with significantly greater benefits and consumer protections. And that was the whole point of the law, right?
Mm-hmm. And case after case. And the irony here, Stephanie, is that while they're kind of screeching about the president evidently lying about, you know, if you like your plan, you can keep it, case after case of these people, like Hannity, Fox News, all of these concerned trolls on the right, are bringing up these horror stories that turn out to be absolutely false.
Yep.
I mean, every single one. I mean, Media Matters has a piece today where they just go through every single one. Like, there's this one guy who was on Hannity claiming that he can't hire more full-time employees because of the Affordable Care Act. The guy only has four employees. Four. That's 45 fewer employees than are required by the law.
Right.
This guy could quadruple his number of employees and still not be subject to the law. And it's case after case like that. At the same time, screaming about the president misleading everybody about if you can keep your health care plan.
Yeah, and by the way, not just Fox News, Bob. We talked yesterday about this gal that became the poster child that was on CNBC, I believe. And again, in case after case, you know, reporters do, you know, a bare minimum of work and, you know, hand them a better, like, oh, here's a better policy than you had for less. Oh, thank you. You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
well, there's a 24-hour rule is coming back here where, you know, if you wait 24 hours after one of these horror stories on cable news, you discover that, you know, not only have they not looked at the Affordable Care Act exchanges, not only have they not shopped for exchanges, but as soon as they see them, they're delighted. They love, oh my God, look at this. It's a cornucopia of affordable health care plans. I had no idea they even existed. And this is 24 hours after they've already appeared on Fox News saying, oh, the Affordable Care Act is destroying America. I've never seen anything like this.
Well, and you know, you write about it so passionately this week, because you obviously say this affects you. You have a pre-existing condition, which I can only assume is terminal sexiness.
Oh, stop it, Stephanie.
Oh, my God, that would be awesome. I would love that pre-existing condition. I would embrace it. I wouldn't complain about it at all, in fact.
But you say, but you go to the heart of the matter. Guys like Will Kane, the Koch brothers, Ted Cruz, and the Tea Party are determined to score a political victory by stripping me and millions of others of our right to receive health care without the accompanying bankruptcies.
Yeah,
that's
right. Well, I mean, I lost my health insurance in 2005 when Blue Cross Blue Shield just jacked up their rates on me. And then after that, I was riding my bike and I got hit by a car.
Oh,
so I cracked a vertebrae and all that stuff, I have back issues. And since then, I haven't been able to get insurance because of the pre-existing condition. And now, finally, I was shopping around on the exchange for my state. And I'm able to get a $189, you know, monthly premium health care plan. I think it's the silver plan.
Wow.
And it's fantastic. It's $1,500 deductible, $30 doctor visits, $5 prescriptions. I mean, it's a dream plan. I mean, it's one of those things that without this law, I could never get a plan like this, much less qualify for any health insurance in the first place.
Yeah, well, I mean, and thank you, by the way, for alerting us to the real danger of Obamacare. The more registered voters will meet the end of the world, according to Frank Gaffney.
Frank Gaffney, yeah. Frank Gaffney reemerges. I don't know where he was for the last 8 years, but suddenly he pops up and says that, yeah, Obamacare is going to make more voters. More people are going to want to vote to protect their handouts, to protect their giveaways. And that's going to spell the end of America as we know it.
And you say by we, he means his fellow paleo-conservative white people. America, on the other hand, will be just fine.
Right, right. Because more people will be healthier. More people will be able to afford insurance. Productivity will go up. You know, the deficit will go down. You know, it's just, it's all these horrible, horrible things. People having health care, that's crazy. That's going to destroy America.
Yep.
It's insane.
Bob, I assume, unlike Rand Paul, you write all of your own stuff. It's not taken from Wikipedia.
Well, no, actually, everything I've said in this segment, Stephanie, has been cribbed from the Wikipedia entry for Gattaca.
What do you make of this? I mean, this is pretty damaging for him, isn't it? Because it's obviously not one instance.
Yeah.
The Washington Times has dumped him. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah, that was great. That was great. This is one of the funniest stories. I mean, this is one of those stories where when I get up in the morning and I go to check social media and the blogs and everything like that, I just grab a big bucket of popcorn and I just sit back and say, what did Rand Paul plagiarize today? Because it was like one thing after another. And the way he's reacting to it has been especially hilarious, where, you know, first of all, he invoked the ghost of Zell Miller. Wait a minute, Zell Miller's still alive. I take that as a correction.
Right.
By, you know, wanting to duel someone or wanting to duel anyone who challenges him. And then now it's the liberal.
Specifically
media.
Rachel Maddow, who could take him out with one punch, in my opinion. But go ahead.
Yeah, right. Sure. And I think the most recent quote where he's like, he's bragging about the fact that he actually saw Gattaca and that he actually read 1984, as if the rest of us troglodytes haven't seen such awesome pop culture and fiction.
By the way, did you see he hit Chris Christie? I have to say he had a point on this one over the post-Sandy tourism ads. I mean, not only did, you know, fiscal conservative Chris Christie just waste a bunch of taxpayer money there to have his, you know, the Cory Booker election 22 days earlier, so all his voters didn't turn out, right?
Yeah.
But Rand Paul took a not-so-subtle jab at him because he starred in ads aimed at promoting tourism in New Jersey. And he said people running for office put their mug all over these ads while in the middle of a campaign in New Jersey. $25 million was spent on ads that included somebody running for political office. And that's actually a good point. That's not what the Sandy money was meant for, right?
Right, right. Well, you know, I mean, I think in a broader sense, this is also going to be one of those things that I'm going to enjoy watching, because what we're seeing here is the continued schism on the right between, you know, I would say not so crazy Republicans like Chris Christie and absolutely bat crap crazy Republicans like Rand Paul. And I think this fight is only going to heat up and get more and more entertaining as we get closer to 2016. And yep. it's just going to be fun to watch. It's just going to be fun to see them tear each other apart.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, you know, I always love to have you on because I agree with everything you say. And I'm sure you were not shocked at this headline. Brazil admits it has spied on U.S. diplomats. What? Spied?
Oh, my God.
Oh,
really?
No. Yes. So Brazil, of course, one of the, you know, countries very outraged. They postponed the state visit with President Obama. On Monday, the Brazilian paper posted a report that revealed a government operation that spied on American, Russian, Iranian, and Iraqi diplomats in Brazil. The Brazilian government's office said the operations were undertaken in strict accordance with Brazilian legislation and in strict defense of our national interests. And it also said the leaking of classified government documents constituted a serious crime which will be investigated and prosecuted under the terms of the law. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So Edward Snowden's a hero to them, but there it's an outrage, right?
Whoever
leaked that, yeah.
Yeah, shock horror, nations spy on other nations. It's crazy, I know. You know, this is, yeah, obviously this is a case where, you know, it's reality peeking into a kind of fiction that's been created around this story that, yeah, all these countries, everyone spies on everyone else. I mean, Brazil even has its own PRISM program. You know, just like
it was in the British newspaper last week. But I love this. Russia's honorary council said government spy. What a surprise. I've long suspected my phone line was tapped, and it probably still is. Germany, as you know, summoned the British ambassador over a report that the British embassy in Berlin may be used as a top-secret listening post. I mean, so, you know, again, a lot of this stuff, it's sort of manufactured outrage, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, in a lot of cases, we just do it better. Well, I mean, we're better at it. But the fact of the matter is that Brazil's spying on us, France is spying on Brazil, Germany's spying on everybody, Russia is spying. Russia is really spying on everybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just, it's in case after case, it's much ado about nothing. It's really, you know, it's standard operating procedure since the beginning of civilization. Nations have spied on other nations. So it's when I saw that, you know, Brazil was spying, it was actually, you know, like a lot of these stories, old news. You know, it's just like old. Okay, yeah, I remember that. That's right. That's what they've also spied on their own journalists, and they've spied on their own activists, their own people. But somehow we're supposed to coronate them as being this, you know, this sacred nation that does no wrong, and which is absolute fiction.
Yep, exactly, Bob. But great stuff as always, and always a pleasure. And you are a sexy liberal.
Thank you so
all
much.
All right, love you, Bob. There he goes, Bob Zeska, managing editor of Daily Banter. 47 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
I said, are you gonna be my girl?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. All right, a lot of travel. It's the holiday season. A lot of traveling. People lose their laptops at the airport, and et cetera. Why? It's a, and I, you know what season I mean. It's the war on Christmas season.
War on Christmas, darling. It's a farce. That's true, but we can see O'Reilly scream, so I'm paranoid with you. Holidays around us, for Muslims, Sikhs, and Jews, but I'm scared of their holidays, 'cause I watch Fox News. The lights on my tree and manger scene are threatened every day.
Rocky Mountain Mike with Mary in Ann Arbor.
Uh-huh.
What'd you think of that, Bill O'Reilly?
And all I'm sticking up for is the baby Jesus.
All right. By the way, so this as Carl first said out of the box, it was a big gay day.
Yes.
On Election Day. We elected two gay openly gay mayors,
yep.
Right? And marriage equality just passed in Illinois, where mom is going in just moments, going to Chicago.
If you can avoid
the big debate tonight.
The alligators.
Right. At O'Hare.
Yep.
But it was a bad week for homophobes. As you say, Guy Fieri has been... You're a fan of the cooking shows?
I'm not a fan of the Guy Fieri, though.
Because you said he said some homophobic things?
Yes.
It's just a weird headline. Celebrity chef Guy Fieri brawls with his crying hairdresser.
I saw the video of it. It was a little uncomfortable to watch. It wasn't a brawl,
well,
it was a slap fight.
Looking at the picture, he has a lot to be pissed at his hairdresser about. However...
There's that.
You just don't hear a lot about straight guys getting in crying fights with their hairdresser.
He's got douchebag hair. Seriously.
Shortly after they landed in San Francisco.
Well, that's he's from Napa Valley. That's where his restaurants are.
Right. An insider said it was just dudes being dudes. We'll have to ask Jim tomorrow how many crying fights he's gotten in with his hairdresser. With paparazzi cameras rolling, guy can be seen kicking a crying Ariel Ramirez out of his SUV.
Yeah.
As the latter hurls epithets at the former.
Well, it was more like, it looked like it was
they
bullying.
They had apparently been enjoying alcoholic beverages on the flight to San Francisco.
It looked like Guy was being a bully to his hairdresser, which was uncomfortable to watch.
Oh, boy. Speaking of douchebags, I guess this would be news if Andy Dick had not caused the scene. He's the most aptly named man, I think, in Hollywood.
Yes.
Heart-parting comic Andy Dick spotted at Marmalade Cafe here in L.A.
Oh, yeah.
On Saturday slurring his speech. Wouldn't that be a story if he was spotted not slurring his speech?
Yes. I've been to Marmalade Cafe.
Mm-hmm. He began repeatedly yelling, I'm allowed to have fun, declaring he's dated men and women, asking the waitress if she would let him kiss her on parts of her body.
Oh, gross.
He recently crashed a wedding in Palm Springs, was reported he was acting bizarrely in the Hamptons. Again, it would be a story if he were not acting bizarrely in the Hamptons. This summer, staying at a random stranger's house, he was later filmed running naked down the road. This is my favorite part of the story. A representative for Dick said, please do not email me anymore. Thanks. I'd like to be
Andy Dick's publicist.
Please don't talk to me anymore. All right. Sexy liberal John Fugelsang filling in for me tomorrow with the Mooks. I will be in Chicago tonight. Flying back tomorrow. Get those tickets, Sexy Liberal. Final 2013 one in Seattle. Then we've got Phoenix going crazy in February. Madison going crazy in March.
Yep.
Okay, so get those tickets quick. SexyLiberal.com, Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Have a great show tomorrow. Mom will see you Monday on The Stephanie Miller Show.